The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten!
State of war will exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now,
a walk in the Black Forest.
John Howard and I.
Good evening.
At least you could have got the beginning of it.
No, I didn't want to get the beginning of it. Anyway, good evening and welcome to A Walk in the Black Forest, episode 255?
55.
Yeah,
55.
Yes, congratulations, everybody.
Burning like fire.
Or something like that. Yeah. And of course, welcome to the illuminated, beautifully, romantically lit A Walk in the Black Forest studios. On tonight, the battle for Bennelong. 80s cult heroes go bad. Human Rights Report 2007. Apex in town. Break out your batik smocks. Shoot an Iraqi. And peaches.
I thought you said break out your buttocks.
No, batik. Didn't you ever do batik at school? You know, the whole thing and the thing with
I just did buttocks at school.
Oh. You went to a private school, did you?
I did.
I still feel alone.
No, it's actually a Catholic school. And it wasn't any of the other boys. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
Which one?
Sit here in front of a microphone
with
it open and live and not talk for about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you know Peter will understand how exceptionally hard that is.
That was really fucking hard. You're
going to pull that light down if you're not careful.
I'm going to just do that then.
We've had a bit of a studio upgrade in the last couple of weeks, haven't we, Peter?
We have had a bit of a studio upgrade in the last couple of weeks.
Amongst new carpet on the walls.
Yep.
And
soon to be installed atomic clocks.
Yeah, we're soon going to have clocks.
And a piece of brown paper on the wall.
Atomic.
That makes it perfect.
Yes, military issue clocks.
Yep.
And the numbers are going to be like 6 foot high.
Yep.
And bright red flashing, and you think we're joking.
Yep.
The lighting in here has this new superpower fluorescent.
Look.
Yes. Well, it's very pristine.
I was going to say what it is it's actually. I'm loath to use the word tribute.
I'm sure you
would prefer to use paying.
Paying?
Paying. Mm-hmm. To David Hicks and the conditions that he's currently in.
Yes, exactly. And that's the theme of tonight's show. We are doing everything we can to protest by being in the state that he was.
Exactly. We're in a studio roughly the same size as what he's currently living in.
And Pete's just wiped feces on my face.
Well, I do that every week.
Yeah, but, you know, I can highlight it at least.
All right, fair enough. He has brown paper on his walls.
He does indeed.
And
but the good thing I'm looking forward to is the plane flight after the show.
Oh, fair enough. He has big brown things right in front of his face.
He does indeed. It doesn't do. But that bag we have to wear, I don't know if I can put up with a bag over my head the whole time.
So. No, I couldn't deal with that either.
Yeah.
So this is show 255 of the Walkabout Forest. Yes, Abe is here. He's just
sorting out a double booking.
He's sorting out a double booking.
You weren't going to mention it. Yeah, I was going
to
mention.
No. Well, you know, we like to break down the walls of radio.
Break down the walls.
So Abe is sorting out a double booking. But he has returned to the house.
But you enough space, because there are like 427 studios in the...
There are 427 studios. How are all 427 studios booked? I don't understand.
I only counted 20 of them.
Okay.
I was busy. I can't count everything.
So are we sorted? Are we fixed?
We're sorted. We are indeed sorted.
Oh, you're a good man.
I try my best.
You're a good man. And whatever you had to do, there are drugs to fix it.
I just need a Kleenex.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. On this very show, as we've mentioned, we did
all your material, by the way.
Chuck Norris is done.
It was quite funny.
Good. I'm glad. Now, I didn't know where I was going with it, so I'm glad you knew.
So, we apologise for those of you who are our terrestrial listeners and didn't hear us last week. But of course, those of you who are internet listeners wouldn't know.
There's got to be a better word for terrestrial listener. Haven't we talked about this before?
I think we have, and neither of you bastards have come up with a better word, so I'm sticking with terrestrial. For terrestrial, yeah.
Why don't we go for something really nerdy and call them I don't know.
I think listeners to the deluxe edition.
Oh, yeah, because they're getting it before everybody, so it's like
they're not getting
premium.
The
it's premium
they're not,
content.
They're not getting
just choose not edit, and it's premium content.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. I like that idea. Premium content.
So the listeners of the deluxe edition of Welcome Back, Frost actually get music.
They do, and
as
they
well.
And the online
and,
people
and the odd fucking swear word.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. One.
That's one for Richard. Now, I just wanted to do a couple of quick follow-ups from the last couple of weeks of stories that we've been talking about. Follow-up one was we did a thing on the last show 254, about the funding. Oh, was it 254? No, 253. About the funding of digital radio.
Yeah.
There was a press release that came out from the CBAA on Monday saying that, yes, that is correct. Only the top 40 wide coverage stations across Australia are going to have access to, or 40 of the wide coverage stations across Australia are going to have access to this funding. No one else is allowed to apply for that funding unless you are a wide coverage station. But their answer is that the FM band will be probably around forever. So don't worry about it.
Well, actually, it won't be because they're turning the transmitters off.
Mm. Correct.
Did I miss the point?
I think
but the band will still be there, and that's the point.
It's going to be there. Yeah. And
it'll be nice and crystal clear, too, because there'll be no dirty signals going through.
There'll be no one else on there, and there'll be no one listening to it.
It'll be as clear as a 100K tone.
Pristine. Mm. Pristine.
Apparently, we're all going to be, everyone left on the AM band's going to be about 10,000 kilowatts.
So,
there's lots of room.
For those of you who are interested in what's going on, this station has written to the Department of Communication, Information Technology and the Arts and has asked for how they intend to allocate this funding and what processes are going to be followed. Mm. So, we'll keep you up to date with that little story.
And, of course, the response from the government, which will be Q.
Depends which government.
That's also
come
a good
November.
Well, you know.
Ain't going to be too many changes, that's for sure.
I don't know.
He's a fiscal conservative.
He's a what?
Fiscal conservative.
I thought you were going to say something about fisting
We are on the doorstep, the dawn, the initiation, the first step, the something or other.
Beginning.
Thank you. The start.
The conception.
The conception.
Not again.
The birth. I'm back full circle of a new government.
Mm.
You can feel it. The last 3 days, can you just feel it? I've felt it in the media.
Yes, I have.
I've felt a rumble. And then when I got the TV on, I noticed that the news was talking about it as well.
I was going to say, how is your media doing? Is the operation okay, Scarsdale?
Yeah, awesome. Good. I'm going to be the, you know me, Pete, I'm an eternal pessimist, aren't I?
Yes, definitely.
So from now on...
Sorry, I was just trying to think that was actually quite a colourful way to describe it.
Profound. Save it. I'm going to be, up until the election, I'm going to be an absolute optimist about the change of government.
So, Prime Minister Kevin Rudd after November?
Absolutely.
I think the Australian population is actually agreeing. In fact, funnily enough...
This is what I'm saying!
I actually have today's news poll results, which were published in a newspaper which I don't read because, well, it's shit.
Was those again?
That would be the Australian.
Oh, right.
I
just thought that's such a list. It's a little hard to narrow it down
for
those of us who didn't know.
Today's news poll results put Labor at 60-40 on the two-party preferred.
So it's close then?
Yeah, it's close. It is the greatest lead Labor has had in the 11 years it has been in opposition.
Yes.
Which, to be honest, isn't that hard.
I would like to just shine a light.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
come
right.
on.
I was
expecting more.
Oh, okay. I forgot which song it was.
Hmm. I'm trying to... So you can... Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be Elton John.
Okay.
Shine the light.
Oh, good. Okay, now, just to shine a light, as I said before, on polls and their inconsistency, as you may remember...
Yes.
...during the Hewson-Keating-Stausch...
Yes.
You noticed
Hewson?
Hewson. John Huston.
Dr. John.
Dr. John. Oh, I'm going to write that down. Dr. John.
John Huston.
Remember him? John Huston?
I do remember John Huston, yes.
Anyway, apparently related to John Schumacher. Mm, he's related to the other Schumachers.
And Willie Schumacher.
Willie?
Did he? Yeah, he did.
Was it Willie or Woody?
Boom, boom.
Anyway, sorry, that wasn't funny. Can I start again?
No, yeah, start again.
Anyway, I'll be back next week. So Dr. Huston, he was actually 75% approval rating in the polls.
That's true.
But a week before the federal election, and he was trounced like the mother...
That's true.
Smackdown.
The poll, look, I mean,
rimmed like undermined.
There's two issues with the polls. Issue number one, of course, is that, you know, there is that attempt to make Labor, I think, appear a little bit arrogant and a little like, oh, cool, we're ahead in the polls. Now, Rudd is trying to keep them very balanced. And I think he's actually done a better job at keeping Labor balanced and in check than any of the last three or four.
He'll be the best war prime minister we've ever had.
He will be the best war prime minister we've ever had.
Well, it's not hard. Curtin. Well, on the other hand, you've got Kim Beazley, who basically couldn't keep anything balanced, and Mark Latham, whose ego was so massive, he couldn't keep anything balanced.
Or Crean, who was basically...
Who?
Crean.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So, there's that aspect.
I was going to say he's fallen from grace, but he was never actually in grace, was he? I mean, he was the great white hope in the Hawke years, wasn't he? Little young tacker following Hawke's footsteps.
Following his dad,
now
too.
Residing in the... Where the fuck is he now?
On the back bench. He's on the front bench somewhere, actually, but I'm not sure where. What was interesting...
Minister for the Inept.
What is interesting is that the satisfaction ratings of Howard and Rudd are significantly higher than they've been for Rudd like months and months and months. I mean, Rudd's 47-38
against
Howard. Well,
you expect that from a Prime Minister.
You do. You do. You should expect that from a Prime Minister. I'm loving this positivist approach. What's fascinating, I think, about the polls is the fact that I don't know...
Abe's transfixed on a waveform.
Stop that.
I don't understand why... I mean, Murdoch's obviously has turned his papers around a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a perspective, because both the Telegraph and the Australian are being fairly pro-Rudd.
Which, of course, would mean that they can smell a change in the wind, and really what they want is media ownership.
Because, interestingly, as we know, Howard is still dangling... The changes in the media ownership laws.
He's dangling it like a turd off the back of a sheep.
Yeah, he is.
And your mules them.
But it'll be a bit hard for him to actually, you know, make any change when he's opposition leader.
Or not even in a gig job.
Well, you know, you've got to have an electorate.
You've got to have an electorate, which is not a guarantee.
Not a guarantee.
But what was fascinating, I think, was the fact that you're right, Murdoch has sent something in the wind. The Fairfax papers have generally always been relatively left-leaning, unless, of course, you talk to people in the left and they'll tell you that they're the sort of, you know, newspaper of the far-right junta. But all sorts of papers, all media seem to have actually turned towards Rudd a little bit here. The whole Therese Rain affair, I'm using Tony Jones's words there.
All right.
The Therese Rain affair.
You know, I don't quite understand how it really is an affair. They found out something was wrong. The next day, nay, not even 24 hours later, it was fixed.
Well, Tony Jones went...
So why is it still being mentioned in newscasts? I noticed this morning on the 5:30 news on a certain news station, they were saying, you know, Kevin Rudd undaunted by the affair.
Yeah.
And I'm going, it's not an affair. They fixed it.
As opposed to John Howard, who allowed ministers to stay in Parliament for, shall we say, things that perhaps in past governments they may have been sacked for.
Possibly.
Hi, Amanda, if you're listening.
Oh, she's off eating pizza now.
Well, she is, and she's also got a new wardrobe allowance.
Oh, isn't that nice? How much can an Italian hessian sack be?
I think it's really important that the government actually does practice what it preaches, that work choices is a fair...
Safe economics.
Fiscal conservatism, please. Yeah. And you should always have safe fiscals.
Again, the fisting. What's going on?
But, interesting, of course, they need to practice... Because work choices... what is now the workplace relations system?
It's good. Yes, it's good.
It's a fair system, and they notified the current Australian ambassador to Italy that he was not going to be in his job, and they gave him, I think, an appropriate amount of notice to demonstrate the fairness that he's now in government employment. They gave him 3 hours to clean out his desk.
Oh, that's nice. Isn't that good?
It's good, isn't it?
Because I'm sure he hasn't been there for some
time. Oh, come on. Why would he need that? Unless it's a big desk.
It's a very big desk.
All you need is a box.
It's in a palazzo. You know, he's got, you know, big old 17th century Italian desk that got marble on them.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, they're very hard to open those drawers. Marble drawers are very heavy.
Unless he was taking the desk with him, and that would explain part of them.
I think part of the problem is Maria Venuti was in the top drawer.
Makes
it difficult.
That always makes it difficult for everybody. So, yes, it is. I think it's an interesting time for our beloved leader.
I don't know, because there seems to be more people kind of coming out and saying things like...
I'm gay.
Or, well, possibly. Are you? That's nice. I'll be keeping that.
Let's just stick to the story, Shane.
Good idea. It's that there's more... people now,
and that comes from you.
I think more people now, whereas there used to be the conservative saying, oh, there's someone threatening us. Yep. Now there's more the idea, you know, that we have to stop this person from rising, you know, the potential of this person winning. Now they're actually saying it's not so much stopping a potential, it's actually reversing any, you know, increases gains. So they're now more, you know, they're bailing.
I'm even thinking of voting for John Howard because he's going to need the numbers.
Well, because he's buying. Exactly.
You know, actually, there's a lot of people in the western suburbs who'd be saying the same thing.
But they're bailing on him. This is the thing. Jackie Kelly, the talisman of the class of 96, as they're called. The person who's Howard's always held up as the battler, the archetypical, sort of statue of the Howard Battler out there in Penrith. You know, she's a multimillionaire. She's got seven houses, just about to build on a new block that the paper was quoted as saying was worth $600,000.
Nice.
She does own a Mercedes that they don't drive down to the shops. They do drive down in their SUV because they don't want to appear, you know, too
caring.
Yeah. I've no idea. But interestingly, she's bailed on Howard. Ostensibly for family reasons. There was a fair bit of apartheid writing to the newspapers and ringing.
Apartheid? He's bringing in apartheid? Bastard.
And writing to, and ringing talkback radio to say that, you know, Jackie Kelly, you know, got a son with a learning difficulty, he needs her help, blah, 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 blah. Mm. I'm sure that's the case. I'm not diminishing that. But I get the sense of a number of liberals jumping ship.
Yeah, you know, I know that.
Well, let's just be technical about it. Jumping ship means they're jumping from one ship to another. I'd rather them just. We say that they're actually jumping off.
That's true.
Because that's what they're doing, right? They're jumping off. They realise that the boat is going to smash in about October, November, and they've got to get off before that happens.
But I have a new name for this. I'm just going to call it Fascist Overboard.
Nice. I think we should...
Yes, as you know, Mr. Walker Back Forest, you're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Amnesty International released their Human Rights Report 2007, and as reported completely accurately by the Australian Press, in its usual, shall we say, accurate, complete, unbiased, and non-sensationalist way, Australia was compared directly to Zimbabwean president, and cricket tour spoiler, Robert Mugabe.
Yep.
Now, the press, this is a story that came out, the story I've taken is actually out of the Herald. Basically said that Mr. Howard with Mr. Mugabe, US President George Bush, and Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir, in the same scathing paragraph in a foreword, described them all as people who thrive on myopic and cowardly leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Not entirely inaccurate.
No. In fact, completely accurate.
In fact, completely accurate. Now, the question always is the fact that Robert Mugabe, the man noted for beating and killing most of the white farmers in Zimbabwe, or Rhodesia, as I prefer to call it. Let's just be
a bit honest about that. I mean, he didn't go straight to killing and beating. He took all the land first
and then went and killed them.
When they had nowhere to go, then he beat them.
That's the best way to do it. Otherwise, they can run away.
And I believe currently has his opposition leader beaten and in jail.
More than likely.
I think that is the case. Mm. Now,
I like how when they're fleeing in front of the world's media, in front of the press, they're fleeing to the airport, his people, Mugabe's people, pull over the car, beat them up, throw them back in the car and let them drive on.
That's nice, isn't it?
You know, there's no sense of arrogance or anything like that.
It's customer service.
At all.
I like that. Nice. It's
customer service.
Farewell.
It is good, isn't it?
It's a traditional Zimbabwean farewell.
Don't come back.
Exactly.
You're now leaving Zimbabwe.
And don't come back. Yes, exactly. So this story was reported quite widely. I believe it actually did have a conversation today with the PR director of Amnesty International Australia. This was reported not just in the mainstream papers. It was taken, shall we say, somewhat to task on talkback radio. There was a bit of talkback radio buzz about it.
Yep.
Almost as much talkback radio buzz as John Laws this week.
Wow.
And his abuse of someone at Hamilton Island.
Oh. Oops.
Not good. But anyway.
I didn't see that one.
I didn't hear about that.
Was that in MX?
No. It was actually in the Sunday paper, actually, surprisingly. There was a little bit of an exchange with someone who had a dig at him for sitting at Hamilton Island and, calling himself a battler.
Was that Good Weekend?
No, it was actually in the normal Sunday paper.
That's another joke. But
yeah, I know, I got it. No, I just didn't rise to it. So...
See, Visor was up there at the weekend, too.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking for a new job these
days.
That
wasn't a joke.
Can't run a company anyway. but, interestingly, so it was run, that was the story that was run, based on the foreword of the rather extensive 400-odd page human rights report 2007, which is an international report put out by Amnesty. It doesn't rank countries.
No.
It's not actually, and this is the thing that they were.
It certainly lists the rank countries.
It lists them in, and what they are listed in is actually in the introduction or the foreword of the report written by Irene Khan, who is the, I believe.
And she's actually related to Kublai Khan.
Or Imran she's Khan.
A great, 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 great niece.
She is Amnesty International Secretary General.
Yes.
So, what it actually does is it does list the Howard government in not a particularly good light.
I wonder why.
It does list them as being part of a myopic and cowardly leadership. And the information it does actually...
They forgot one good thing about the Howard government.
What?
They're leaving in 4 months.
That's true. The boat to Howard Land sails.
Don't know if that counts.
And we're going to set fire to the wharf once they're gone.
The Howard government portrayed desperate asylum seekers in leaky boats as a threat to Australia's national security and raised a false alarm of refugee invasion. This contributed to its election victory in 2001.
Absolutely.
And Howard actually recognises that because he says to his party this week, "We're facing annihilation," which, basically gave me the warmest glow I've had in a long time.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
Like he's on holiday.
He's saying that so that they get scared, so that they actually go, "Oh, well, we've got to defend ourselves." Because what conservatives are like. When conservatives want to, put all the wagons around and, pull up their fences and draw up the drawbridge.
Are they
going
to have Lee Marvin in the middle singing?
Yes, I believe they are.
It's a Paint Your Wagon reference.
Paint Your Wagon.
It was in Paint Your Wagon, yes. Clint Eastwood as well. No.
I don't know. I've never seen the bloody film.
Move on, come on.
He was talking, not me.
That was my gag, that was it.
That was it. So, you're right, and of course what the Conservatives actually did once they found out that they were facing annihilation, is they all left.
Handy that. Hi, Jackie Kelly, if you're
Shows the sense of bravery.
Not exactly the brave face that
Howard wanted. I don't think it really went down well.
But let's be honest, the Conservatives don't fight their own battle. They get other people to do it for them by instilling a culture of fear.
Interestingly, of course, the new industrial relations amendments went to Parliament on Monday, a week after they started advertising the changes, which is excellent. But funnily enough, you talk about other people doing their work randomly. Don't get me wrong, this is completely random.
Random.
That within an hour of these legislative changes being put before Parliament, the Business Council held a press conference saying they're fully in favour of them.
Geez, surprise, surprise. The Business Council of Australia,
If they're that obvious, it wouldn't take a couple of minutes to read through and thought, they're all right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I like those. Yeah. And, of course, the Business Council weren't prompted for this in any way.
No, of course not.
Now, of course, we know that a couple of weeks ago we quoted the Business Council of Australia quoting the Prime Minister, which is interesting since they wanted to actually be an impartial lobby group. A little hard to lobby impartially if you're quoting someone.
They're impartially in favour of the Liberals.
Oh, well, that's fair enough.
That's impartiality.
Enough. That's good. Look, I hadn't thought of it that way. Thank you for pointing it out.
They actually don't, in any way, shape, or form, discriminate against whether you're either National or Liberal.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a fair, impartial approach to take.
If you're one or either or both, then they're with you.
Yeah, they are.
If you're not, fuck off.
Exactly. But interesting what this report does actually have is a full page of basically every major country in the world, and it lists...
Aussie.
It does list Aussie. We are in the report, and it does list the human rights issues that are connected with Australia in the last year. That includes the abuse of the Indigenous population, which...
I didn't know that was happening. Did you hear about that?
I haven't heard anything. No, it wasn't in the news, Pete.
Are you sure?
I'd question.
Is that Australia or Austria? Because the Austrians are like, they're bad with their
Indigenous
people.
It does mention, of course, the death in custody of the Indigenous man on Palm Island, Murinji Domaji. Now, that was, of course, it was in the news because Powderfinger couldn't write a song about it.
Wow.
Which is unfortunate for Pat.
What?
Haven't you heard this story?
No.
Okay, Powderfinger wrote a song about the death of the guy on Palm Island, allegedly at the hands of...
a certain police officer.
A certain police officer who is currently facing trial
Who had nothing to do with any other police officers at the station. It was just one man, no one else.
I did throw in the allegedly, and we have not mentioned his name, even though it's in Queensland, but this could be broadcast in Queensland, so we are not in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I'll get around that now. Basically, Powderfinger wrote a song about it, and the song was picked up by the prosecution, who said the defence, actually, who said that this actually will hurt this man's case in court, because it was quite a strong lyric from Powderfinger. It was more than my happiness. Which is about as strong as Powderfinger get, really, pretty bunch of pussies. But so what they did, they defended their art.
Mm.
They stood by their art.
And they refused to shower for 3 days.
And do you know what they did?
No,
they changed the lyrics and re-recorded the song.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Absolutely.
And now they're selling
pussies.
It because apparently Coca-Cola's now using it as a new slogan.
Can see how it would have hurt their case, because songs are always factual.
They're
always factual representations of the truth.
Mm. Exactly.
We all live in a yellow submarine.
Exactly.
As we do. That's where we're broadcasting
from. Coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo.
Mm.
I am the walrus. I am the Eggman.
Now, it's interesting, actually, because in this report that was released...
Yeah, that's about Peter Costello.
That's it.
That's all right.
That's it.
In the report that was released, that Amnesty International report...
Yes, the Human Rights Report, yep.
They mention here a couple of things which I think are really interesting. Now, I'm going to read these out of context.
Oh, good.
And you're going to...
Also like our media.
Yeah, no. No, but bear with me. I'm going to read this out with certain little bits missing, and you tell me where in the world this is, okay?
All right.
Okay, yep.
Is this funny?
Thriving in an arc of instability, armed groups flex their muscles and engage in massive abuses of human rights and international humanitarian law. Where could that be?
America.
Possibly. Maybe Iraq?
Iraq.
Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they're saying Pakistan. Now, it's interesting, when you actually look at some of these things here, you can actually, I don't know whether you can read between the lines, but anything actually could be kind of put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, they're talking here about small armed groups, insurgents, terrorists, stuff like that, blah, 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 blah. But really, when you think about it, the biggest group in the world that is causing fear and terror and repression of people are governments.
The Bush family.
That's the Bush family.
The Bush family, exactly.
Are governments, and that's basically... Check this out. Okay, how much of like Australia does this sound? In many countries, a fear-driven political agenda is fueling discrimination, widening the gap between the haves and the have-nots, them and us, and leaving the most marginalised people unprotected.
Mm.
Could that be here?
Definitely, without a doubt.
Absolutely, this is the problem.
It's the people of Bennelong.
So what's that, Afghanistan?
Yes.
There we go.
Check this out. Politicians played upon the fears of uncontrolled migration to justify tougher measures against asylum seekers and refugees. Where's that?
Here?
Christmas Island.
They're talking about Western Europe, but it could be here. This is the thing. It's amazing. You look at all these things, and yeah, sure, they're talking about different parts of the world, but all these things are happening here now, so Australians really can't turn their back on this.
Afghanistan can't be that bad, because I heard that the Taliban are coming back.
Well, they're going to help.
They're going to put the government back into place
liberate.
And everything, and...
They're certainly going to remove any haves and have-nots, because everybody's going to be a have-not.
Yeah.
If you're going to...
If it's a choice between having a fence
and
not having a fence,
you'd
prefer not to have a fence.
I agree. But if it's a choice between having a wall and not having a wall, I'd have a wall every time.
You'd have a wall every time?
Yes.
Do you remember the old days of the Iron Curtain?
Yes, exactly.
Now, see, that was a wall.
Yeah.
And if
you're going to have a curtain...
Worked.
Yeah. You might as well make it iron.
May as well have it iron.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's my point.
Look, Australia's had a horrendous human rights record, not just in Howard's time, but certainly even dating back, I mean, this is the 40th anniversary of the referendum to give Aboriginals full rights as citizens of Australia. Mm-hmm. That was done in 67. Before that, surprisingly, they were actually contained under the Australian Flora and Fauna Act.
Oh, isn't that nice? Mm. Isn't that cute?
As they said.
Excuse me, officer, can I trim my Aborigine? No, I'm sorry, he's over 6 foot tall.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's going to fall on my house. Oh, go ahead.
He's blocking my view of the harbour.
Well, that's how it worked in Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. So someone's gone down and poisoned his roots.
So to speak.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is that... The perspective of what, you're right, the perspective of what's in Australia's current human rights record is now very similar to the patterns expressed by the majority of conservative governments around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So America has got a horrendous human rights record. and I guess what it does to me is it, and I guess this is, goes back to the comparison to Mugabe, is there a huge difference in many ways between the attitudes, not the actions, but the attitudes of totalitarian governments such as Mugabe and Bashir from Sudan and to some extent when the Taliban were in Afghanistan or whatever else, and the solid controlling attitudes of hardcore conservative governments?
Absolutely.
Is there a huge difference between them?
Well, you'd have to say that probably not.
You want us to say no, but I'm not going to say no because I think there is a big difference between them.
Explain.
Oh, really? You want me to call me on it?
So what's about? Oh, sorry, didn't I mention that this is actually a, this wasn't a rhetorical question?
Well, for starters, Mugabe just goes out and does it. I haven't seen John Howard sort of, you know, raising up his own private militia to sort of beat up people and kill people and throw them off their land.
Wait till we talk about APEC.
Yeah, well, it's all done in policies and politics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, seriously, we take the piss out of the man, but you don't think he's seriously sitting there thinking, I'm just going to grab all this wealth for myself. He doesn't. He's deluded into thinking that he's doing the best for the nation.
No, but
I don't think Mugabe is.
No,
but
that's true, you're right.
But do you think that honestly, when they decided not to let the Tampa dock, to leave it out there, do you think it didn't cross their mind that possibly it might sink and all the people might die?
Oh, I'm sure.
So what? It's not a huge leap, is it really? To let a whole lot of foreigners die? Just because,
die. There was a hope there that it would happen, and then they wouldn't be seen to be doing it.
Mm.
But, you know, Mugabe would have just gone out with a shotgun and probably hold the boat straight away.
But the thing is...
That's true.
But what is... But see, don't... it's interesting because...
That's the difference.
Mugabe's a man of action.
He's a man of action.
And Howard is just a man of... He's all talk.
Yeah, that's it. Laws and policy prevent Howard doing what he ultimately would like to do.
But see, the thing is, don't you think...
Ruling the country by force.
The difference between... And look, I get your point, and I actually agree with your point, but don't you think the difference...
But it's not funny.
The difference between Mugabe, he would be an overt... authoritarian ruler, where Howard would be a covert authoritarian ruler, but really...
Yeah, and also that the other big difference is that Mugabe's black.
Yes, and he has a little Hitler moustache. That's his nickname, Hitler. It is, I'm serious.
Is it really?
Yeah, he has a Nazi fetish, which is why his presidential guard actually wear Nazi uniforms.
Nice. Wow. Nice. So him and George Bush.
Yes, that's right. Oh, they actually have the same presidential guard.
Oh, that's good.
Except, you know, Bush doesn't let the black ones in.
No, that's right.
And Ace Frehley from Kiss.
And Ace Frehley from Kiss. And Keith Moon.
Is it really?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, and Ron Asherton.
Yeah, Ron Asherton. There's quite a few of them out there.
Actually, speaking of Zimbabwe, it says in the report, increasing polarisation and heightened fears about national security reduce the space for tolerance and dissent around the world from Iran to Zimbabwe, blah, 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 blah. But the point being is that this is happening all over the world. It's not just, you know, as it says here, from Iran to Zimbabwe, but you've got to include ourselves, whether it's Australia or even on our doorstep. You're looking at somewhere like, whether it's...
Tasmania.
The Tasmanians have done it all the time. Look, if you don't marry your sister down there, you're in deep trouble.
Lord Howe Island. It's a dangerous place.
Good point. Definitely. You wouldn't want to go there.
No.
But the point being is that all these things that they're talking about in here about being a foreign government, we have to actually have some sense of ownership as well because it's happening here.
Look, I mean, Amnesty, I think, are an entirely laudable organisation who do an amazing amount of good work bringing these sort of human rights abuses to the public sphere. But the reality is, in world government, Australia has turned its back on systematic human rights abuses in China for a long time.
Ever since Nixon.
Exactly.
I remember he invented China.
America has turned its back on systematic human rights abuses that it has engineered in South America for years.
What they've done with rice is just ridiculous.
With Condoleezza Rice.
No, human rights abuses.
Oh, human rights abuses.
It's not that funny.
It's not that funny, but it was the funniest thing. It was the funniest.
I appreciate the laugh.
But it was the funniest thing in the segment.
It was.
So, surrounding from the shit, it rose up like a jewel.
Yeah, carry on.
Like a jewel from the bowl. So Australia's turned, lots of countries have turned their backs on human rights abuses, and they will continue to turn their backs on human rights abuses as long as there is an economic imperative to do
well,
so.
Well, that's the primary difference, isn't it, between conservative government and a socialist government, effectively.
I don't even know if that's... I mean, the French have turned their
I'm
back
not saying
onto...
a socialist government, but, you know...
But a government with social policies. Yeah. The real is that there is no longer that idea of social responsibility in Australian politics. I mean, if you look at Australian politics at the moment, certainly from the government... any idea or any thought of any social well-being. And now that's whether that's reducing funding to disability services or the elderly or the poor or whatever it is. All they've done is basically, or kids.
Yep.
All these people who need to be looked after socially
yep.
are no longer looked after socially because they don't consider it important that there is any kind of social policy put into political and economic policy. There's this three divide. Political policy, economic policy, and social policy, and the two that get looked after are economic and political, and that's it.
Okay.
Social policy goes by the wayside.
You go out now, and you'd find no one on the street. If you go out in the morning, when there's plenty of people on the street, you go out them and ask them, what would you prefer, a dollar to a hospital or a dollar to your pocket? You'd get a dollar to your pocket every time.
Really?
From, I reckon, at least 40% of the population.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that 40% isn't all liberals.
Mm.
Liberal voters don't generally like John Howard. A lot of liberal voters don't like John Howard.
Really?
Take Malcolm Fraser as a model.
Mm.
They are actually, while they are fiscally conservative, they are actually quite socially liberal.
I mean, even Whitlam to an extent was socially liberal.
And there are a lot of liberal voters that don't John Howard.
I meant Menzies, so I was going to team mixed up for some odd reason.
I'm amazed that Pete and I didn't flinch. I sort of
Pete didn't flinch at all.
Just kept going.
Sorry, dude.
So there are a lot of liberal voters who don't like what Howard stands for. They would never not vote liberal in some ways, like someone like me, who would not vote. Who would never not vote Labor, even though I think that they're going down a path I'm not as happy with.
I didn't vote for Maurice Yemmer.
Neither did I, but I wasn't in the country.
Neither did I wasn't registered to vote.
So was I.
Gee, we're great fighters for fucking democracy,
no,
aren't we?
I didn't know that I wasn't registered to vote.
I did try twice. I think I told the story on air, actually. I did try twice.
You remember, was it 10, 15 years ago, whenever it was, and you followed me when I voted once?
Yeah, you came
with me.
Yeah.
We went up to Balmain and looked at my thing. I've been off the roll since then.
Really?
Because I keep applying.
Yeah.
I keep applying to get back on the roll.
Yep.
And one of the things you've got to include is your previous address, so they can track you down. So I put my previous address, and they write back to me and say, I'm sorry, we have no record of you being at that address, so we're not putting you on the roll. So you write back, and then you say, the previous address, I'm sorry, we don't have a record of you being at that previous... And it just goes on and on and on. And a guy came to my door the other week, and... basically,
he said $20 a time.
Trying to get all the rolls sorted out. Yeah, and after we'd finished,
$20 a time.
Yeah, after the cigarette.
Yeah,
he got me to write down the last six or seven houses I'd lived in this small little comments box, in the hope that I would get on the roll.
The changes that have occurred to the electoral roll system in the last year still haven't had the full effect. There's things like if you now are re-enrolling to vote, like if you've moved or you are fallen off the roll, you actually have to have ID to prove who you are. Now, not everybody in this country has ID.
Yeah.
I didn't have ID until a year and a half ago.
Well, who are you?
I've got it now, so I know who I am.
Okay.
But before that, I had no idea who I was. I had no idea about my address, no ID to prove who I was except for my birth certificate.
It's really hard for him to find his way home.
When I filled in the form,
which
is a couple of months ago, or whenever it was like a week after the thing came in, I had to put down my driver's license.
Yeah.
That's all.
Exactly.
It's not a big deal, but, you know.
But if you don't have a driver's license, you're a bit stuffed.
You probably got one of those, you know.
I now have a proof of age. No, I don't even have proof of age. Now I have a photo ID.
Oh.
Yeah, RTA issue photo ID.
It's got a little stamped eagle on it, holding a little
cross. It's just got a man that says, you know, you're no one.
Aww.
People tell me that all the time. The other thing.
You got a number, though.
I did get a number. Yeah, no, it's tattooed in my arm. Yay. But
we're all a number.
Yes. I'm a free man.
Hip, hooray.
The other interesting.
Number six.
Exactly. I'm not a number. I'm a free man. The other interesting thing, of course, is that as soon as the election is called, the rolls shut at 8 o'clock that night.
Ah.
So there's none of this getting a week to then enrol. And
I better do it tomorrow then.
Yeah, no.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't know what the point of that is. What's the point, Pete? I mean, just to stop the...
Howard's point is that it takes so long to do all this and it costs extra money. If you talk to the social commentators, what they basically say is this is a way to ensure that the youth currently don't vote.
That's right, exactly.
And if you talk to the union movement, they're running a massive campaign at the moment to encourage youth to vote. They're hitting TAFE colleges, they're hitting schools, and they're hitting universities to increase the youth participation, because currently of average 18 year olds or people who will be 18 by the election, only 40% of them are currently enrolled.
Can I just say that I don't know whether it is actually in the movement's the left wing movement's best idea for them minutes, yeah that'd be good to actually get a lot of younger people to vote, because they've only ever known Howard. They've only ever known the right wing. And for them, to be honest with them, this isn't the right wing.
Yeah.
To them, this is the centre.
Centre left.
See, John Howard, to a lot of young people, is the centre. It's the middle ground. It's always where Australian politics has been. And they don't remember before. Try and tell someone who's 18 years old what social policy in Australia was like before Howard. And they have no idea.
I know.
No idea at all. And really, I think a lot of people, and this is actually happening a lot, and I think we'll find out in years to come, this is happening a lot in journalistic circles. Young journalists are coming along who are 23, 24 years old, having no real memory of what it was like for social policy and politics in Australia before 10 years ago. And they just think that, oh, you know, this is how it's meant to be. This is always how it is.
But you know what it is now? And I found this out today while I was talking to a group of young people.
Would you hang around the schools again?
I was, yeah.
Toilet block?
No.
Oh, it's good.
Front gates.
Oh, really?
But
the gym's good.
But in talking to a group of young people today, I was amazed that there were a lot of them that weren't even born when I'd finished school. But you know what perspective I got? You know, remember when we were growing up in the 80s, your parents would talk about the 60s, and it would almost be in that sort of, you know, oh, well, you know, the whole thing about if you remember the 60s, you weren't there, you know, what a great time it was for Australia, prosperity, the Vietnam War caused all, you know, blah, 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 blah. The way we talk about social policy in the Hawke era particularly, I'm assuming we're talking Hawke 83 through to probably 89 when that recession hit.
Yep.
The way we talk about social policy in that period of time is the way our parents talked about the 60s. For the kids of today, it's just old people reminiscing about the past. And I think fundamentally that's obviously happened throughout history.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a while for us to actually realize that we are just sounding like our parents.
Isn't that sad?
We are the same age, probably. Our parents were. When that prosperity was happening in 83 to 89.
Oh yeah,
wow. You know, it's a scary thought when you think about those sort of things, the way the young people perceive it. So you're right, they don't understand anything that's on the left because they haven't ever had it. But if they are hearing it, they're hearing it from their parents who are our age, saying to them.
But, you know, not
as good as it was back in 1983 when Bob Hawke was in.
If they accept what's here now, not accept, but, you know, if they see that as being the centre or whatever it is, surely the reporting of stories, not through the mainstream media, but, you know, where we get our news and stuff like that, feeds down to these guys through the internet and all that sort of stuff. And they see, regardless whether they think it's the centre or not, they see how governments are behaving, how politicians behave, how they care about this, how they don't care about that. The global warming one's a great one. I'm sure most young people, at least, are on the side of, we got to get this bloody fixed. And seeing how obvious it is that Howard's just trying to get votes. But I've just got to sneeze.
I think the climate change thing is the one fundamental issue that Howard has entirely misjudged.
But I don't... I agree. But I also don't think... And that's probably because of economics. But I also don't think that necessarily...
It looks like young, he's going to sneeze or throw up.
And I'm talking about a lot younger people. So, you know, 16.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know, and it sounds so friggin' old, whether they're making the link between Howard and conservatism and that kind of thing.
No, but
and Bush. Now,
that's my point.
They understand that Bush, okay, is an arch conservative. What he's doing is wrong. Okay, they understand that. Even to an extent, they now see that Tony Blair is turning back on his policies. It was a mistake. This, that, and the other. But I don't think there's the link there between Blair, Bush, and Howard yet. Because whereas Howard links himself in the mainstream media, going, you know, I'm up there with the big boys. Most of us honestly go, John Howard, you're a weaseling pissant little fuckstick. Which is what most of us think. And really,
don't hold back.
Most people...
I told you not to be honest on here.
One. That one bit where we're really not taking him seriously actually plays
seriously, dude,
into
I don't head. Think... I think... What was it fully? Something... pissant fuckstick? What was the first bit?
Weaseling pissant little
fuckstick.
Weaseling
pissant little fuckstick.
I am quoting.
Does not count as one. I'm sorry. That's got to be more than one.
Excuse me. Can I just say, what's the graph called on the website?
Yeah, but even so, it's the intensity that matters.
I'll get stuffed.
I reckon
it's worth at least 1.2.
Look, I can just mention fuck like that, right? And you don't even notice it, but it 1. Gets as much weight as your weedly pissant little stick. My point is, surely the kids of today, and I don't know why I call them the kids of today, because it just rubs in, brings home your point.
But youth.
The young people, young adults, see... If they've got the information, right? Yep. If they've got the information,
they see what's happening,
and they wonder why this is happening.
Yep.
And why can't we be nice to each other? You know, like
why can't we all just get along?
In every generation, there is the concern.
A Slayer was born.
The revolution. The you know.
Buffy Reference Dude, you missed it.
The demonstrations.
Yep.
Youth at every generation.
Yep.
Right, gets in and complains about this sort of stuff. So I don't think the fact that this is the norm. Is enough to say, oh, well, I don't really care about anything else. Because if you're a normal human being, you care about things.
Okay, but where has most of the youth protest come from? It hasn't come from people in trades positions, working in, you know, whatever trades jobs. It hasn't come...
Well, I can't afford to take a day off for starters.
Exactly. It usually comes initially from the youth involved in student unionism, at either universities or in other forms of higher education.
Yeah, but I write a lot of those ones off as just, you know...
But this has been the problem, how it has philosophically destroyed that.
Yeah.
So now a student union is effectively spotless catering.
Also...
That's all they are. So, you know, or... And the reality is there isn't that youth thing... And those youth have been marginalised. Now, hopefully next week we're actually going to talk to a guy from the Stop Bush Coalition... who does represent, I get, a lot of his constituents or a lot of his supporters are from that... audience.
And I'm
going to be very interested to find out if that drop in unionism has actually affected that more militant protest. But my point, I guess, is in regularly dealing with young people or regularly dealing to young people.
I was going to say, how's that going, by the way?
It's going well.
Good.
So in regularly dealing with young people, and by young people, I'm talking 18 to 21 year olds.
That's very funny.
I know, and I love to tell them I'm just dancing around what I do. But in talking to these, they are not...
You are the artful dodger.
I am the artful dodger. They are not politically aware.
He's a fartful modger, personally.
They often don't even...
To be politically aware.
Exactly. They know who John Howard is, but they don't know anything about his government.
He's a weedy, pissant little fuckstick, apparently.
Exactly. They vote for John Howard. They don't vote for the Liberal Party. Liberal Labor doesn't mean anything. They actually vote for leaders. Howard has actually been very successful in engineering the shift from party-based politics to personality-based politics.
An American-style thing. An
American-style presidential election.
Yeah.
They don't really know. They know nothing about state government. Absolutely nothing about state government.
Well, would you? Look That's at the true. State government.
Look,
it's
the state
an absolute
government
mess.
Doesn't even know about state government.
That's why they're broke.
Hey, Morris, how you doing?
Yeah.
I like you.
Interesting.
You're a good man.
It's interesting, though, because with a lot of the younger people, there doesn't seem to be, and I've got to sound so old, the disaffected youth, that sounds better.
Yeah.
With the disaffected youth, there isn't a groundswell of opposition.
No.
Because really, whereas, you know how, like, you know, in the old days, we... there was an idea of a social revolution, of an idea we all should care. I think Howard successfully now led to the point where people shouldn't have to care about other people. They should care about themselves.
Yeah.
It's always this idea of caring about yourself. Oh, what about the money? You've got to pay off. Oh, well, you'd do it if you wanted to pay off the mortgage that you spent on this massive house or because you've had seven children under the baby bonus. It's all about money and catering to yourself. It's not actually, there's no social imperative for us as individuals or another generation, so to speak, for them to then go, oh, well, you know, I should do something that's better for someone else.
Yeah, no,
you know,
totally.
There's no Band-Aid. There's no cold sore cream. No, sorry. There's no, you know, Band-Aid or World Aid or whatever it's called. There's none of that stuff out there which gives a greater world view. And I think that leads back to what Amnesty is saying in the report. When you're looking at something like the Darfur region, which is basically falling apart through whether it's imperialist or religious, you know, instigation or revolution or insurgency or whatever, we're not caring because no one's out there going, we should care. And Bob Geldof has dropped the ball.
Well, or at least Bob Geldof or people like Bob Geldof.
Yes.
Or as we'll find out later tonight, Al Gore.
There we go. This is Walk Back Forest, 88.5 FM.
What I love most about that song is here that at Triple R, not only do we provide you that song, we also provide you with the hiss that goes in the background of it.
Nice.
Isn't that nice?
That was awesome. That was Valvalux, Perth band Valvalux.
Triple R with built-in hiss.
From around about 1998,
I reckon.
2 or 3. Going right back there to an age we didn't care about.
Not that early?
No, I don't know.
96, 97?
But that track was Handline.
I don't care.
And that was off their debut EP, Supercharge. I only had two EPs.
Who gives a monkey?
And you can't get either of them anymore, unfortunately.
That's lucky. Right. Now, interestingly enough, this...
if you want a copy.
Yeah.
Last week... It's interesting, in America there's a cult of personality, right? We just talked about American politics and that kind of thing, but in America there's this cult of personality where actors such as Emilio Estevez, Kirk Cameron, and Chuck Norris have found God and have tried to convince other Americans.
Has Emilio found God?
He has found the Lord.
Wow. It's good that he's finally realised that Martin Sheen is holy.
Well, I was going to say... It's pretty ridiculous, really. Not only can't he get a role in a movie, now he's got to turn to someone else. I don't think it's going to help. Praying to God is not going to help.
He was married to a famous model, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, I believe it was a 1:72 Stuka.
That was so my joke. If I hadn't had an iPod in my hand and I was putting it on the table...
You would have got that line in?
You know whose joke that is, though.
No, who is it?
Alexi Sale.
Is it?
Yeah.
There we go.
Some people could.
What about for us stealing jokes from famous British comedians for 10 years or longer?
At least we admit it. Unlike all those other shows out there that have been stealing our gags for 15 years.
Yeah, we're looking at you, Daryl Summers.
So Chuck Norris, as you know,
the chaser. Thank you very much.
I was just looking at Daryl Summers because I think he's sexy.
I don't know if I want to be on this side of the desk anymore.
So, as you know, Chuck Norris is most well-known as being the national karate champion of the US in 1966.
Correct.
He then moved on to do a number of really bad films.
Action flicks? In the era of Steven Seagal? Yeah.
Octagon. Including, Delta Force, Missing in Action, Hitman. Yeah, all of those. But he did all of those. Where basically what they did was they went to Israel and filmed a whole lot of scenes of people blowing up Arabs and communists.
That were real shots of Arabs flying up. Yes.
Actually, strangely enough, they were. Now, Chuck Norris has come out. Well, not actually come out.
Should we actually point out that also he had a TV series?
He did.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
What do you mean point out? Isn't that what he's mostly known for?
No, I'd mainly know him for Delta Force.
I'm mainly known for that big sexy poster on my wall where he's got big orange curly chest hair.
Yeah. I remember going to see Octagon in the cinemas. For some reason, it's one of those ones that stood out. Not the film.
Yeah.
Just I remember sitting in the audience.
Watching
Octagon.
How was
Maybe
it?
Maybe it was who I was with. I don't know.
Steven Seagal.
How was it? It was pretty crap.
Anyway, so now this is a direct... Now, Chuck Norris has decided... apparently Chuck Norris...
He was in that... Hang on, what was that one with the drug lord...
You have to narrow the field a little bit more.
Insert name
than
that. Here.
Yeah, go through the names again.
The Hitman, Firewalker, Sidekicks. That's all I've got. I haven't
missing
got any
action.
All right. Missing in action.
Octagon.
Two. Missing in action. Octagon. The Octagon Man. The Octateletron. Firewalker.
Octagon
with
Octagon
me.
Two.
Octagon.
Delta.
Otherwise known as Decagon.
Delta Gong.
Delta Gong.
Actually, it was more like that's missing in an octagon. That was more like what it was like.
Well, Chuck Norris is now actually railing, as the Americans say.
You didn't follow up with the rest of his history. The fact that he went on to be stunt coordinator for all these other films as well. You're looking at me like you're about to...
I take your word on that one.
You're good. Oh, didn't you know that?
No, I had no idea.
That's what he was mainly known for.
Hold on a second. I thought he was mainly known for Walker, Texas Ranger.
He was in all those films at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And then he went on to be stunt coordinator. Like, he was one of the big
fight coordinators.
Stunt coordinator, which includes fighting and all sorts of stuff.
I just know him from the ads for the
animatronic. Oh, you haughty-taughty film man.
So he... You guys should know this. You're nerds.
I'm not a nerd. I'm a geek.
So, yes, like, exactly. For most of the 80s and early 90s...
Did he ever do it for the Alien quadrilogy? No.
That's true. He should have.
You know why? Because he's not an alien.
I don't know.
Be better than David Fincher.
But interestingly enough...
And then he got hired for
Texas. What are you
talking
about David Fincher? What's this David Fincher shit, son?
Alien Cubed, my friend. Alien Cubed.
Have you seen the extended version of Alien Cubed?
No.
Back away from the fence, then.
Yeah, Resurrection was pretty good.
Oh, dear.
You know there's another one coming, right?
It's a French movie. Of course it's shit. Voulez prononcer fait quoi? Fallait la colère? Fuck you! Oh la la la.
Right, sorry, Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris is basically...
Mainly known for his beard.
Mainly known for his beard and now currently waxing his chest.
Yep.
He's now actually railing against atheists and, quote, their tool...
Do you know that all the muscles in his face are actually frozen in place? It's a birth defect. He can't actually emote anything.
I thought it was just Botox.
Their tool...
Yes.
Their tool.
Homosexuality.
Ah!
It's true! But wait, there's more. Quoting from the article by Chuck Norris, though the majority of Americans continue to claim to be Christians, a Gallup poll discovered that 45% of us would support an atheist for president, 55% would support a homosexual candidate, and 72% would support a Mormon candidate. Such a survey is a clear indication that most Americans are simply confused about what it means to be Christian. It also shows that the secularization of society is alive and well, especially when almost half would endorse an atheist president. Now, can I just say, atheism, it's not like people are running out sacrificing goats or, you know, touching up small children in churches. Oh, that's the other side. So, you know, what's the big deal with atheism?
Yeah. See, so is Chuck, for what he's best known for.
Waxing his chest.
Is it he's an idiot? He's a fucking moron. And that when you look at, so we say...
Oh, he's gone way down in my books. He was up there. He was a god to me. Octagon was in my top 3 million films.
And the thing is,
time.
Now you don't believe in him.
I don't. I've lost all faith.
You're a Chuck Norris atheist.
I was going to say, you're an Oregon Norris atheist.
You're a Norris atheist. Okay, the trouble is, Chuck Norris is in, shall we say, not being unfair to him, the lower tier of stars these days.
Oh, can I just say that he's way, way above Steven Seagal.
When was he ever not in the lower tier?
Oh, 1986?
No, 1986 would have been the mid-tier of stars.
He was in the top tier of stunt coordinators.
He was the top tier of stunt coordinators.
He was a stunt legend.
And you know what? He was actually the number one Walker, Texas Ranger.
He was.
Apart from the guy that appeared on stage in the Broadway musical of it.
And the black guy. Yeah, who wasn't TJ.
He had his own stunt company, you know that, don't you?
Did he? What was it called?
Norris Stunts.
He's just making
out of his ass.
He is. So he's in the lower tier of stars,
right? You should go home and look it up on IMDb.
I don't even know if he is actually in any kind of era of stars.
I believe his version
of... He's a feigning
He was an up-and-coming, wasn't he?
He
was a 1970s Seagal.
Bruce Lee film.
Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
Was he in Enter the Dragon?
He was Enter the Dragon.
What was he in that for?
He was the American guy with the fluffy orange chest.
Really?
Yeah.
So he would have been in the mid-tier of stars then?
Yes. Basically, that was his debut. He went from the from the National Karate Champion to the Bruce Lee film, and then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in the sequel.
So Kareem now...
Abdul-Jabbar.
So now...
He's a very tall man.
If he walks the red carpet, he's really probably walking the... Society of American Gaffers Awards.
Knock the American Gaffers.
I'm just saying he walks the red carpet on that.
He's walking the cream carpet.
That's okay. Joan Rivers still talks to him.
Probably not that intelligent.
No, not that intelligent. No. Oh, fair enough.
Well, actually, to prove he's not that intelligent, there's more. Add to that, quoting from his diatribe here.
Is that Walker, Texas Christian?
It is.
I fucked it up.
You did.
Never mind.
It was funnier in my head.
It's more Jesus, Texas Christian.
I was going to say. Jesus.
Actually, that is quite funny, Walker, Texas Christian, because the middle name of George W. Bush is Walker.
I thought you were going to say the middle name of Jesus is Walker.
Really?
Yeah, George Walker Bush. Oh, Walker, Texas Christian. That's funny. That's the funniest gag of the show.
It's all in the delivery, really.
Yeah, we have really. Sorry, I'm lost. Okay. Quoting here from young Mr. Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
That was professional.
Thank you.
Add to what
I just wanted to get comfortable. I just wanted to get comfortable, you know?
So I'm not flipping it out.
I don't know why they have microphones with the actual arm.
No one cares.
In your face.
I don't know.
Why it doesn't come up from the desk like this little one here that we got?
Chuck Norris said that to me.
He did. Why doesn't it come up from the desk?
Yes. Exactly.
And you said to him, why don't you just go down under the desk?
Yeah, exactly.
Walker, Texas desk.
Add to that.
Not funny.
Not funny, but.
But amusing.
Yes.
Quoting Chuck Norris.
Yep.
Add to that that what I believe is possibly three times the number of functional atheists as opposed to those who've had their knobs knocked off.
What's a functional atheist?
They don't eat much fibre.
Ah.
Mm. Those who believe in a god but practically don't show it, and America is facing a new religious horizon in which atheism is becoming a formidable foe. Now, excuse me, how could anyone ever see atheism as a foe? A, they don't believe in anything, right?
True.
So there's no uniting to atheism, right?
Mm.
B,
well, we're doing pretty well considering.
No, but you get my point. Yeah, my point is, there's no uniting. The thing that unites atheists is that they don't believe in anything.
Mm.
As opposed to Christians who believe in something that's not true.
They believe in a god.
They do.
See, the trouble, once again, I go back to my point. He's a minor tier star.
Uh-huh.
And as such, he needs to find something. So let's take another minor tier star.
He needs to find a woman.
Lindsay Lohan.
No, she's a top tier. Without a doubt.
Okay, John Stamos.
No, he's back.
Should I stick my head up my ass now? That's the second one I've come up with.
Okay, no. I'm talking about Victoria Principal.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, Victoria Principal, ex-star of Dallas.
Yes.
All that sort of stuff.
I've got her amateur porn video.
She had to find something.
Did she start Victoria's Secret?
No, but she did start Principal's Secret.
All right.
See?
That's really naff.
Principal's Secret is a makeup thing.
At my school, Principal's Secret was a cane.
At Victoria, my school, Principal's Texas Secret principal. Was... No, don't go there, Peter. Just don't go there.
What is he, the Principal's Secret?
Exactly Zip. Right. Exactly right. So, quite true, unfortunately. But,
Oh, God.
But, my... can I get back to this now? Principal's Secret. So, she had to come up with something.
Feel free to insert a gag at any point.
I'm just leaving that to you, funny man. I'm the straight guy in this bit.
Yeah, right.
Principal's Secret... Case? I've lost. Just fucking move on. you treat that as a victory, don't you? That's a victory. Because in about 2.5 minutes, I think I said the word Principal's Secret. Yeah. And that's all I said.
Welcome to my world. Now, here's a question for you. Now, I'd just like to pose
it's
this.
A beautiful world.
I'd like to pose
I don't
this.
Believe in it, but it's a beautiful world.
You're a Norris
atheist. What's the question?
My question for you is this. If there is a secret cabal of, you know, atheists, so they're out there to ruin America, ruin the world.
Oh, cabal, sorry.
Of Texan stunt coordinators.
Not cabal. Why are people
so there's a secret cabal of Texan
That's
stunt
right.
coordinators.
Them.
Texan Christians.
Where do they meet?
Probably in midair.
At the American Society of Gaffers Awards.
Oh, that explains it all, really.
It does.
A walk in the Black Forest. Part of the joint collective.
Get this stupid program off the air.
Well, can I thank the honourable member, Mr. Speaker, and just to acknowledge, by the way, the support he gives to the prostate cancer cause, for which he's grown his moustache, I believe. So, my wife is involved in that campaign as well, so I'm delighted that he's made an effort. Mr. Speaker, I think you misunderstand. Not to mislead the House here in any way.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
So, there's a guy, there's a... Did you fart?
Sorry.
Walker, Texas fart.
That's actually one of the funniest things I've heard you do.
All your CDs just go off the desk.
Oh, sorry.
Did I don't see why it's funny.
No, of course you don't. But it was.
It was hilarious.
I'm going to do my piece of material.
Sure,
now.
Go ahead. Welcome to Abe's world.
why is it his world?
Oh, dear. Sorry, keep going.
Iraqi artist. And it says here, I'll get you to pronounce it, Pete, because you're good at this.
Sure.
No, he's not.
French?
The very first.
Wafa Bilal.
Wafa Bilal.
Wafa Bilal.
Wafa Thin.
I'm sure I know him.
Wafa Bilal.
Mm-hmm.
Has locked himself in a room.
Yep.
And connected himself up to the internet. Well, not him himself, but a mm-hmm. camera.
Yep.
And you can watch him. Yep. And there's a paintball gun.
Yep.
Now, you can go to the website and you can fire paintballs at him.
Performance art.
Performance art, exactly. Mm. So it's called Shoot an Iraqi. And
what?
So you can go to the website and what's the URL here? But if you look up shoot at an Iraqi
mm-hmm.
in Google, I'm sure it will come up there. And he's in there for a couple of weeks, I think it is, basically. So you can go to the website, control the paintball gun, and you can shoot at him. And basically, it's an installation piece. He's done lots of this sort of stuff before, titled Domestic Tension.
Yep.
And as you probably guessed, the point is it shows or represents how the Iraqis are feeling at the moment because they can't get out of this room. Yeah. They're locked in a room and they're just being shot at all the time and it's not their fault.
I tried to log on to that site, but unfortunately it kept coming up saying that it was being blocked by www.whitehouse.gov.
Yeah, strange that.
What a porn site.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so go That's check it out anyway and support him because it's a good cause. It's just art.
The shooting Iraqi?
Yeah, shooting Iraqi.
There you go. Anyway.
Can it choose the colour of balls? Oh, can you pick where to shoot him?
You aim it with the website.
Really?
Yeah, you aim it and then you.
That's very clever.
Is that Web 2.0?
It probably is Web 2.0.
It's Web 303.
That's also funny. Can I also point out, by the way, that your show summary, which you can find on our website, which is www.warpblackforest.org, was one of your funny ones this week?
Oh, really?
That was very funny.
Oh.
I liked the constant returning theme.
Yes. I don't think I read this week's.
It was his Web 2.0 one.
Web 2.0.
It was funny.
Look at the Commodore while you're there.
Yeah, it's good, that one. Battle for Bennelong, ladies and gentlemen. I've got three very quick pieces of information in the Battle of Bennelong this week. The first is a press release that was put out by the New South Wales Teachers Federation, which I will declare a minor interest in because...
Your kid's a teacher?
No, because I'm a member.
Well, we know that. Is your kid a member?
But the teachers thing. Get back to the teachers thing.
John Howard was invited to visit local schools in his local area. Visit schools in his local area as part of his re-election campaign. He basically told them to fuck off. Funnily enough, when they asked Maxine McHugh, she turned up the next day.
Really?
Good. I did a Richard thing there.
Yes!
How good was that?
Yes, take that, UV.
So the next thing,
I'm neglecting.
John Howard has a website, particularly for his re-election as the member for Bennelong.
Are we paying for that?
Yes, we are. It's johnhowardmp.com.
Oh, yeah. This is
so he's gone the cheap. He's gone the cheap ass way. Yeah. He hasn't even gone and got one done in Australia. He's gone to America and paid $10 and got one.
Yeah.
Cheap ass motherfucker. But there are two things that are on the website on the front page. There's a request info button.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it says, yes, as a constituent of Bennelong, please send me more details on. And there were five boxes you could tick.
Oh, awesome.
Now, tell me if you think who John Howard is aiming his electoral campaign at.
Yep.
The five boxes are Veterans Affairs Services, Helping Our Environment, Seniors Services, Deeming Provisions for Self-Funded Retirees, and Age Pension Info.
Mm-hmm.
That's the youth.
Old buggers.
The youth of Bennelong.
The next one.
But the youth, who in the western suburbs, are being brought up to believe in the Howard Yuntel.
So basically you can ask John Howard, is that what it is, for more information
on these things, yes.
Right. And what, it just emails you back a website?
But you need to be a resident of Bennelong. Because on the next thing, he does a Bennelong community survey. John Howard MP, federal member for Bennelong, delivering to Bennelong.
Delivering to Bennelong.
Didn't know he was doing pizza these days. Trying to work out his new career soon, I think.
Wouldn't that be awesome if he rocked up at your door?
Scare the shit out of you, wouldn't it?
You wouldn't make my life.
You wouldn't tip him.
No, you definitely wouldn't tip him.
Make my life. Sedition laws.
Yeah, in fact, you'd send it back. Have you saved Bennelong Community Survey? This email facility, this website is for Bennelong residents only. If you do not live in the Prime Minister's electorate of Bennelong and wish to send him an email, you must use the email facility that can be found at www.imagiantturd.gov.au.
What? What? Hang on a second. If you're in Bennelong, you're allowed to use the web form, but if you're not, you've got to email.
Yes.
What stupid is that?
Bennelong residents can email the Prime Minister by following out steps below. There'll be no
Wouldn't
further...
Wouldn't it make more sense to have a checkbox that says, I live in Bennelong, and then you know, when the form gets submitted, it can automatically route to wherever it's going?
But this gets better. This is a survey.
Better get a bucket.
Only Bennelong residents will receive a written response to email sent through this website. There'll be no further electronic response from the Prime Minister. You'll get it from a...
flunky.
An automated bot.
I was going to say an automated bot, but I was actually saying a chained up flunky, yes.
Thank you for your interest in Bennelong and the Prime Minister of this country. We'll get back to you in November.
Now fuck off and die.
If you wish, if you wish to vote for John Howard, please do. But we won't communicate.
Yes. You're picking up a pace, Pete. I've never seen you pick up a pace.
Your residential address must be provided. Of course, they need to know in there. Now, please tick the four most important issues in our local area. Uh-huh. Unemployment. Maintaining...
For John Howard.
Yes. Maintaining low interest rates. Immigration. Environment and conservation. Self-funded retirees. Age pension. Education and training. Health and aged care. Childcare. Tax reform. Helping families. Helping small business. Crime. Making sure bishops stay in power. I'm not sure. If you could fix any problems in our local area, what would it be?
How about this one? Getting rid of the local member.
Yeah.
Apparently he's not very good.
Please commit the following details so I can get in touch with you. You're meant to give your name, your address, your email, your phone and fax, your suburb, your postcode, and your penis. Oh, sorry, that's a different shop. Now.
And your credit card number.
Here are the optional comments. Now, you're writing to John Howard, Member of Parliament, your local member, Liberal leader. Generally, do you consider yourself a committed party voter? If yes, which party are you committed to?
Well, I'd have to say the...
You're an uncommitted or swinging voter. Which party are you committed to? This is fascinating because obviously this is data collection on behalf of Howard. And what is even more fascinating, of course, is that once they work out that you've said, I'm actually a Labour voter, I wonder if that's going to go on a database.
Jeez, I wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually don't think they can ask that, can they?
Privacy legislation.
Oh, they can ask whatever they want.
He's
as
the
long
Prime
as
Minister.
They disclose what they're going to use it for.
Which they haven't done.
Considering now that the Prime...
The privacy policy doesn't say that?
Considering that today...
There is a privacy policy and disclaimer, which I'll do next week.
Considering...
No, but it's a link to the bottom.
After the election, because it ruins the argument.
It's a gag, yes.
Considering that today it was announced that the Prime Minister is allowed to have everyone's phone number, whether it's a private number or any other kind of number, it doesn't matter if it's blocked, the Prime Minister is personally allowed to ring you on any matter at any point in the day.
He's
more than welcome.
Did you get the phone call from John Howard before the last election?
No, I didn't.
Because when I was at home in my last house, I got a phone call from John Howard. It says, "Hello, I'm John Howard." He sounded a bit like Jack Thompson, though.
Really? Maybe it was Jack Thompson.
Here are my two wives. Oh, sorry. Actually, here's Jeanette.
So much to say, and I can't say any of it.
No. But, interestingly, it was like, yes, this is a very important reason. I normally wouldn't ring you at home if it wasn't a very important reason. I'm just thinking there, what would I give if this was not a recorded voice, but was actually John Howard? I normally wouldn't ring you and have, well, fuck off and don't do it, you stupid, weaselly, piss-ant little fuckhead!
You're a little bit rude tonight, Pete. I'd just like to... Have we done our disclaimer at the beginning of the show?
Yes, we did.
All right, well, that's all right.
Yeah. I was just quoting him.
Yeah, right.
You weren't quoting.
I was quoting you.
Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
I promise not to swear
Travolta,
once between now and the end of the show.
What?
I promise not to swear once between now and the end of
John
the show.
John Travolta had a go at, do you know the BBC reporter who did the Scientology?
Yes.
That was hilarious.
I watched it on YouTube.
Me too.
Wasn't it awesome?
It was.
So he's written to the BBC complaining of personal prejudices, bigotry and animosity and hatred against my religion. And in fact, the guy, I've forgotten his name, John Sweeney, also turned up at a some media publicity launch and stood up and yelled, "Are you a member of a brainwashing cult?"
Oh my God, this guy's a loser.
It's good to see editorial independence in the BBC.
So I thought I'd mention it. So I'm going to do what you did, Pete, because I got a bunch of things to go through. Peaches basically has been called white trash by her ex-boyfriend, 17-year-old DJ. Can you remember his name?
It's not DJ Tourette's.
Fucking Tourette's.
You've
got it. He's Ping.
Ping. That's it. DJ Ping. That's it.
No. Just Ping.
Just Ping.
He's not DJ Ping. He's just Ping. On MySpace.
Yep.
He said, "Forget pussies, you're just white trash, fuck off,"
he said. Nice.
Which is pretty deep.
Ping's not one of my friends on
MySpace. "You try too hard to be cool, it's lame, and all your so-called friends say that."
Nice.
Peaches basically said,
"That's not fair, I'll tell my daddy on you."
And he's going to come around and make sure you're not in the documentary. Actually, of
humanity. No, it's a fring. A friend of Ping. I always called him a fring. A fring, which is fring. Officially a friend of Ping.
You've just invented a new MySpace word.
Fring.
Excellent.
Yes.
How many frings have you got?
Join my ring of frings.
So the first
I could start that, you know. I'm going to start calling all my MySpace friends frings.
It's not like Ping to be so bitter. He was such a lovely guy, but he is clearly very hurt because he absolutely idolized her. That's it. I'm not going to talk about him anymore. I don't really care.
Ping
I just threw away the rest
over.
Of my material. Okay, can you get that while I continue?
Yes. Ping Ping's gone.
Peaches also called Colleen McLaughlin a... because Ping... Not Ping. Peaches came second in the Perfume Shop High Street Fashion Awards for the title of Britain's Best Dressed Celebrity.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Colin beat Peaches, and Peaches said, Colleen, better dressed than me? Yeah, right. Like all those other footballers' wives.
Ooh.
Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, enough of that. Also, we finished Peaches because I got to get through all the Peaches stuff. Oh, yeah, she also told Lily Allen again to stop overreacting.
She loves Lily Allen.
Stop overreacting. That was basically
I love
it.
Lily Allen.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Basically, she was
it's
at the...
Tramp thing.
This is at the Fashion Awards I just told
it's
you about.
Like Lindsay Lohan.
She basically said to the mirror, we all have bad days, but there's no need for liposuction.
Fair enough.
What was
you
the last
bit? You
catch
that. Well, if you weren't listening, you weren't
I was
listening.
Trying to listen.
We've all had bad days, but there's no need for liposuction.
Okay.
Right, that's it. Have I finished all the peaches? Right, now, did you know...
That Ant has a brain.
Oh. That Bob Geldof is a surgeon.
Times the size of John Howard's penis, yes.
John...
I missed the bloody line again.
Bob Geldof?
Yes.
Is it? You're so happy because you got through your material, aren't you?
It's fucking
you feel like
great.
A free man,
it's
don't
great.
You?
It's wonderful.
It's not
we
what
didn't
you
do
look like,
APEC.
Trust me.
Next week.
Bob Geldof has received an honorary fellowship from the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland.
Oh, isn't that
now,
good?
Now, look, of all the people in the world, would you want Bob Geldof operating on you?
Not necessarily so.
He could do circumcisions.
He could. Yes, he could.
I have a friend of mine who just had a circumcision, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to be a surgeon, this is all you need to do, because apparently...
How is she?
She's good.
I'm not going to bother because there's so many good lines there, and you're not even going with them, so
well,
that's
I'm
it.
I'm trying to.
No,
can
you
do
can
it?
Fuck off. You can...
Come on, tell us about Bobby.
You can
I want
suck
to know.
My toolies.
Oh, I want to know about Bobby.
No, you can go
I want to know about
jump.
Bobby. I want to know about him.
No, that's it.
Are you going to be a petulant little girl?
I've got no problem with your riffing, but when you're in a completely different direction to the actual glorious material, we've spent 1 month of boring things like, oh, Peaches is on MySpace, and then I get all this fantastic
then
rich
do
material,
it, do it.
And you ignore it.
I was listening. Liposuction, I heard it.
No, because now I've beat it up into more than it actually is.
<'Cause> oh, shit.
This was so good. This was seriously
Would
so
Would you like
good.
To take a short break and come back?
No. Would you like to lick my balls?
Not again.
Oh, fantastic. How long have we got?
7 minutes.
Is everyone going to calm down at this point?
Yeah, we'll calm down.
How about we take a very short little breather and come back to you?
No, not at all.
So there I was trying to do something
I'm
professional,
well.
But let's not.
He just wants his moment of glory.
No, I noticed that.
I don't need moments of glory. I've had moments of glory for the last hour and a half.
Really? Where were you?
I was next door.
I was wondering where my seat's
I was next
sticky.
Door with Karen.
Who the hell's
Karen?
If
you don't know, it won't hurt you.
It's that mysterious door you never enter into Studio 42, isn't
Bob
it?
Bob.
I never knew the name of his dog.
He's an effective leader because of his courage, ambition, and determination. And that, in theory, is all you need to be a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Well, I'm a little concerned about that. There's a number of people who could be great surgeons. Errol Flynn.
Yeah, he'd be good.
He was brave. He was strong. He was,
John Howard. He'd be a good surgeon, wouldn't he?
Well, I don't know about that. He knows certainly how to cut the bottom line.
Now, that's take note. That is a good riff. See, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah? Yeah.
No, right. We're working.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan. She could be a surgeon.
She could. Well, I just cut those warts off her. God, that was close.
Off her.
Finger.
Just off her.
Finger. Yeah.
Fingers.
She has some finger issues.
He does.
Now, Roger Daltrey during the week came out.
Oh, did he?
He's going to feel a lot better about that.
Wonder how Pete Townsend feels, though.
Yeah, he's
probably a little sore.
He's got tinnitus, you know, it hurts.
He does.
It's painful. Play guitar all the time,
too. I
heard
a joke about that other Scientologist, but I can't even remember his name now.
Tom Cruise?
That's him. Thank you very much.
He's bought a motorcycle. It cost him
Al Gore's putting on a concert. Al Gore is putting on the Life Earth concert that's going to be synchronized on all
7th of the 7th 07.
Fantastic.
I didn't know he could sing.
Now, all the money that's made from that will go to the
Al Gore.
Go to the artists and Al Gore.
Yes.
And
well, he wants to kickstart his presidential campaign.
He does. It's true. Roger Daltrey came out and basically said, because the whole point of it is to raise awareness of global warming, right? Yeah. He said, bollocks to that. The last thing the planet needs is a rock concert. I can't believe it. Let's burn more fuel.
nice one, Roger.
There's nice more one. To that as well. But then Geldof also came out and said, I hope they're a success.
Yep.
And then right at the end he says, but why is he doing it? Everybody's known about the problem for years. We're all fucking conscious of global warming already.
Oh dear. As opposed to being aware of poverty, so why have a Live Aid do?
Being a person who has
competition between the, you know, the
wankers.
Yeah.
Being a professional psychologist,
yes.
I would suspect that Bob has
a tiny penis.
Possibly. Jealousy issues?
Mm.
Rage issues.
Mm.
He does have a very small point, and he's getting that scene next week.
By himself.
Exactly.
Dr. Bob, let me introduce you to your tiny cock.
Why throw a big concert? I mean, is there anyone on the planet who doesn't know that there's a global... Apart from John Howard.
I was just going to say John Howard.
George W. Bush.
Probably won't be watching.
Hu Jintao?
They probably won't be watching.
Hu Jintao?
Yes, George W.
Bush. Is that a Chinese beer?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
I'll have a schooner of it when I get home tonight.
I actually gin-towed before, so that was me.
Did you?
Yeah. We asked who gin-towed. I gin-towed.
When I get home.
Well, it's equivalent to a Singapore sling. You have a who gin-tow.
Yeah.
And a Singapore sling.
That's
cool.
And a happy ending.
And a happy ending.
Yeah, fantastic.
Who gin-tow with happy ending.
That's it.
Done by the female Mao impersonator. Have you seen her on the news this week?
No.
There's a law in China that you're only allowed to impersonate Mao when the government gives you permission, and they've given a 51-year-old woman permission to imitate Mao.
That's fantastic.
And walk around to shopping centres and shake and wave.
How's she going with a beard?
Mao didn't have a beard.
Oh, for freak's sake.
He also wasn't a woman.
That you can't prove.
Oh, yes, yes.
Fantastic. And that you also can't prove.
No, that's also true. I can't prove that either.
Exactly. This has been, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, Forrest. You're listening to 2RRR 88.5 FM. Coming up after us for our premium content listeners will be Fabrication Deluxe listeners.
Premium content Deluxe Edition.
Deluxe Edition. We'll be getting Fabrication Debris. Tonight's show, I think,
which,
is...
Which, to be honest, makes you want to be a web listener.
Yeah, so you don't have to listen to that shit. But for those of you who want to check out our website, www.walkblackforest.org, if you've heard us on the Premium Content Deluxe Edition, you can then download the Standard Edition to listen at your listening leisure.
Yes.
Also, of course, up there is our usual show summaries, any links and stuff. Hopefully next week we'll be talking to Alex Bainbridge from the Stop Bush Coalition.
I thought you were going to say Alex Picard.
No, he's off radio again.
Yeah, right.
3 months. Well done. So we're
walking the Black Forest. 15 years on air, and we still can't get a Labor government.
Have we ever been on air during a Labor government? I don't think so.
Yeah. Yes, we were.
Were we?
Of course we were.
Oh, sorry. We weren't doing politics.
We had the end of
Keating. We weren't doing politics in those days.
No, we weren't. We weren't allowed to.
No. Abe, you should never stop us talking about politics.
Sorry.
We're out.
Bye.
Catch you next week.
I'll be the same.
All I have to ask is, who's Jing Tao'd? We Jing Tao'd.